Hi, friends. Welcome to another great episode of Murray Musings. It's me, Claire, and I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Peter. Peter, how you doing?
Doing well. We've got a star on the show, so
We
I
do.
am so excited for today's podcast episode.
Very, very excited. She is Twitter famous. She'll take down anyone who dares to slag off Andy Murray or her number one man, Leon Smith. She's always on your telly because she's famous. It's the one and only Angie Mooney. Angie, hi. Welcome to Murray Musings HQ.
Hi guys, lovely to be here.
It's great to have you on. We've been looking forward to getting you on for a while because we do love your chat on Twitter. There's no holds barred with you. You just go right in there. If someone pisses you off, you're like, get off my page. And in fact, Angie, the other day, someone commented on one of my posts. I'd said that Leon was Captain Fantastic after a brilliant performance at the Davis Cup, which we will talk about later on. And someone responded to it saying, "I will just because they won doesn't mean that he shouldn't be questioned over his choices of Cam Norrie instead of Jack Draper." And as soon as I saw that, I was just like, right. I'm just going to sit back and wait for Angie to comment. And she didn't let me down. She was straight in there. Shut it,
Yeah, it didn't
So let's go with our first question, Angie. Is we always like to ask our guests when they come on, what is your tennis origin story?
Well, I first got into watching tennis when I was, I think, about 8 or 9, and it was round about the Martina and Chrissie era. So, and back in them days, I mean, I'm way older than you two. Although I don't know, of
You
course.
don't look it. You don't look a day over 32, Angie.
So in them days, it really was only what the 2 weeks of Wimbledon you got. So it was small pickings, and I just absolutely loved watching that era. Chrissie was my favourite, I have to say. I just loved Chrissie. If it, she was the first one that really got me into tennis. Again, because you were only getting it at Wimbledon time, you sort of forgot about it for like a year. I did try to play tennis a little when I was younger, but I was absolutely hopeless at tennis. And I'm actually a very sporty person and was actually quite good at most sports. But I felt really, really frustrated with tennis because I wasn't as good at tennis as I was at other sports. So I just used to get really, really frustrated. So dipped into playing for a while. Then I kind of fell away from tennis for a while, got back into it again big time when Tim Henman came on the scene. So followed him for quite a bit. Again, in them days there wasn't really a lot of chance to watch unless you had a lot of money, which I didn't. So I think it was really just Wimbledon. Followed Tim. After that, again, sort of was round about my heavy partying period. So I'm more
You never partied. What are you talking about?
Enjoying myself with my friends. So again, fell away from it a little bit, dipped in and out for Wimbledon, and then big time got back into it when Andy came on the scene. Although didn't really follow him, I was probably a wee bit later to the Andy, as a lot of folk didn't really properly start following him till probably about 2011, 2012.
Oh, wow.
Although when you,
Okay. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
we knew he was on the scene and we'd heard about this up and coming young Scottish player who was going to be really good. But of course, we'd heard that a lot about different British players and it never materialised. So I had heard about him and followed him at every Wimbledon, but I wasn't really following him at other overseas tournaments, I would say until about 2011. And
Wow.
then I know, and then I fell big time. I just really, really took off after the 2012 Wimbledon, and I just got utterly obsessed after that. And that's been it ever since. Obviously, 2012 Wimbledon was like devastating in a lot of ways. And then the Olympics came shortly after, so that just looked, and it was a case of after that, getting up in the middle of the night, no matter where he was playing, no matter what was happening, if I was working the next day, it didn't matter. I was up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. My husband thought I'd lost plot completely.
I love it.
That's where it really started for me, Andy-wise. Mm-hmm.
That's I'm genuinely actually quite surprised. I thought you would have been one of the ones that was like, I was there for his first match at Queen's in 2005. I'm quite surprised that you were. I mean, it's not late 2011, and you know, when you think about how some people maybe they really only started following Andy in his kind of dominant year of 2016 when he became world number one and won Wimbledon the second time and the Olympics the second time. That's when he started kind of gained quite a lot of new fans, I think is fair to say. So yeah. 2011 it's not late on in the Andy scene, but I wasn't expecting that. Were you, Peter?
No, I wasn't. I thought, of course, you know, from being where you are and everything, I thought you'd of course have him in your periphery of news and whatnot, and so I would expect at least, you know, of course he went to the 2008 US Open finals, so I thought at the least by then. But yeah, wow, that's a little bit later, but I'm surprised. And we've known each other on Twitter for quite a while, so I didn't realize that it was a little bit later on in his career.
But I sometimes I'm like, oh, quite regret it because I probably did miss quite a bit, but I was there for the really, really important one. So,
oh, yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no denying that you're a super fan, Angie. Don't you worry about that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really from 2012 onwards, and it just got bigger and bigger and better. Mm-hmm.
And look at you now. You've been in his documentary and everything. You were in resurfacing.
Apparently, it's from Judy Murray. She says I was in it 4 times.
4 times? I saw you. I definitely saw you at least twice in it, looking glorious in your you were wearing like a red outfit, and you had your Scotland flag at Queen's. So if you haven't watched the resurfacing documentary, I don't know if you've been living under a rock for the past however many years, but if you haven't watched the resurfacing documentary, go back, watch it, and keep your eyes peeled for Angie in the crowd at Queen's when Andy is playing with Feliciano Lopez in the doubles.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a watch. What's your favourite Andy match that you've seen in person?
Oh, I have to say, I mean, I would love to have been at both of these Wimbledon finals, but of course, you know how difficult it is to get a ticket for Wimbledon, never mind the final. So in person, I'd be a toss-up between the Davis Cup final in Belgium or the The 0-2 where he became world number one and obviously won the World Tour Finals title. So it would probably have to be a toss-up between them two for in person. But I've got to say my most stressful one watching them in person was the 0-2. So that would have been again 2016. And I think it was would that have been the semi-final he played Raonic?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah, that was my most stressful. Me and Paula George, and oh my God, I thought I was going to hit a heart attack in the spot. I don't know if you remember that match, but how close it was to going out. And that year, I'd actually bought a ticket just for a couple of the round robins. And then as the year was going on, it was becoming obvious that Andy was doing really well. And he was in with a champion and actually winning in it. So I'd bought a flight, I'd bought my ticket, so I ended up ditching the original flight home and rebooking another flight. I had to rebook another hotel because I just knew, I thought, he's going to get to the final and he's going to win it this year.
Nice,
so
yes.
After doing all that and then obviously how close the semi-final was, I was like, oh my God, please, you need to win this because I've bought another flight, I've bought another hotel room and like, and obviously, I just wanted him to be in the final. So he came through, but it was the most stressful ever to watch. Like, but, and that actually was the first time that I met my good friend Marcus Buckland as well. That night.
Oh, my Marcus. Goodness.
Let's talk about Angie and Marcus.
Another of Angie's loves.
Marcus is a good guy. We've had him on the pod. And you always get good chat. And Angie, just you're a big fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I just love Marcus. He's such a lovely guy and so friendly. And like, he really goes out of his way to meet any fans. I mean, he doesn't need to do it, but if you message him and he's like, he'll actually leave his work and come, I'll meet you. I'll give you 10 minutes. I'll meet you. I don't know if you were there. Were you there last year, Claire, when we met him at Wimbledon? Were you with us? You there?
Did Claire freeze out on us? Oh, goodness, no.
I'll be back.
She's back.
Oh, she's back. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. This is another Murray Musings. This is just what happens in Murray Musings HQ. The internet is unstable. It's as unstable as Scott. So, you know.
That's unstable.
Did you hear the question about meeting Marcus at Wimbledon?
Did I hear that question?
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I met him at, I saw him at Queen's at the Battle of the Brits, but I wasn't there at Wimbledon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, was that well, obviously I've met him at the O2 in 2016, and a few of us just hounded him on Twitter to follow his back, and he very graciously done so. So he says we must meet up. And as I say, it took time out. He's so busy. The 2 weeks of Wimbledon, Marcus is doing Wimbledon radio and all sorts of other things. So it was really nice of him to come and chat for 10, 15 minutes outside the media centre behind the bush.
Behind the bush. Love it.
So yeah, that's just another giggle at Wimbledon time.
So what are your other favorite matches?
In person
or just watching throughout his career?
Well, definitely the US Open win. That was the first really biggie. Mm-hmm. Well, after the Olympics, the Olympics was amazing, and that actually was on my birthday, the 5th of August. He won his first gold. And which is a great weekend. I've been away for the weekend with friends, so it was like a case of rushing back. We were up in St Andrews, and we need to get back and watch this match. And like, oh, we were so hungover for the weekend, but everybody else, I think, went to bed, and I was like, no, I'm staying up watching this match. So the Olympic gold, but I think the US was the first really, really exciting one, as you remember, it was through the night for us. So I think Gordon stayed up to maybe about 1 a.m. He's like, oh, I really want to see it, but I can't. I'm going to bed. I'm staying up. So I'm trying not to make too much noise, but you know what it was like. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was actually down in my hands and knees in front of the telly. My nose up to the telly like that, praying.
Love it.
Praying for him for the line. But of course they did, and it was just amazing. And everyone, I think, went to work the next day on like 2 or 3 hours sleep, but absolutely high as a kite.
Nice.
Wimbledon 2013 obviously is the biggest. That's,
yes,
to this day, I would say that's definitely the biggest. And I've got really, really good memories of that day, because my mum, who passed away last year, she was a big Andy fan as well. Aww. So what a day we had. So just me and her. She came up, and it was absolutely, for a change in Scotland, it was absolutely stunning weather, really hot. So I won the whole sweet champagne tea out the garden and chocolate strawberries, and we had Sue Barker on doing the lead up. And, oh, it was just such an easy, and me and mum was, oh, absolutely elated. And then we just had a massive party after it. Just the two of us, it was brilliant.
Really, oh, I love that.
It's such a nice memory for you to have as well, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And then it's 2016, my mum and my brother actually came back up. So We done the same again in 2016 and the party I actually went on about 3 hours later this time. I think I went on to about 5 in the morning this time.
Oh wow.
So Wimbledon wins absolutely, but there's been a lot of really good ones. Another one that stands out was, I think, was it 2014 when he played, oh, who was the Spanish guy again? It went like that.
Tommy Robredo, yes.
Aye.
That and was those like, two matches of Valencia, and then I believe Shenzhen is when he put his middle fingers up. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, saving and, match points in both of those matches. Just,
yep.
Yeah. Touch and go whether Andy was going to make it to 0-2 that year. And again, I think that was my third year in a row going to the O2, and we bought tickets, paid for hotels, everything. But of course, it's not him if Andy isn't there. So I was like, oh, pure praying. I was like, oh, you need it. So that was, I remember that being a really good match and very stressful to watch. And then I think that was the year he got to the O2, but it wasn't a good year. I think that was the year he nearly got double bageled by Federer.
Oh, God. If I remember.
Yes.
Aye. That was my brother's first time actually seeing Andy live, and he got double bagel, so that was a bit of a downer. But you know what? Us being us, we just went to the pub afterwards and got pissed anyway.
Do love a Murray Coaster, don't we, Peter?
Yes. I mean, the Murray Coasters that we've been on through the years, especially, as you mentioned, the Robredo matches is one of my favorites. Both of those, just amazing work from Andy. And that should segue us into Andy's match for Davis Cup. So were you there for that particular match and everything this year?
Yeah, I'm actually there. I'm just going back over some of my notes because I've actually went down the year. So we're at 2015, yeah. We were lucky enough to have two of guys in Glasgow at the Emirates Arena, which is literally 10 minutes down the road from me. So absolutely perfect. So, yeah, I was at every one of the Davis Cup matches, and everyone was amazing but different, if you know what I mean. I mean, the Glasgow ones were obviously just usual Glasgow. I think it's wet and windy outside. Obviously, once we get inside, it's just electric. The Queen's one was actually a personal favourite of mine because it was just so different to the Glasgow ones. The weather was amazing. At this point, I've made so many friends through Andy. You know, all these different people that I'd never, ever met. So we've got a small community going now just through different forums as well. I mean, Murray's World Forum was the first one I joined. That was the one I met Joe Craven, and then we joined Andy Murray Fan Forum, and that was where we got the group tickets to go to the Davis Cup matches.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Again, met so many friends through the Andy Murray Fan Forum. So at this point, there was a good meeting up for matches, which the atmosphere was even better. But the Queen's one really sticks out. I absolutely loved that. It was just beautiful weather. You were outside. Andy and Jamie were playing, and it was just absolutely amazing. And then, of course, Belgium was the cherry on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Belgium, especially like with the lob at the end and everything, just perfect shots like throughout, like just memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a good weekend. And one of the girls from the Andy Murray fan phone, she booked like it wasn't just like a normal function room. It was like a cave. It was like underground, and it was like this massive cave. And it was just magical. And all the forum, there was a really big group that time. And so we just did, like, each night after the matches, we just went there, had a nice meal, massive party. So, and we had all the, obviously, Davis Cup gear, all the men were in their kilts.
Oh,
and you can imagine the party we had after the final.
Mm-hmm.
We actually left there and went to, we met all the Barney Army in an Irish bar in the middle of Ghent.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Evans joined us. I think we were there a few hours at this point, and it was just
of course they did.
Dan joined us. I've actually got photos of dancing on a table with Dan Evans that night, the night they won.
Nice. I've definitely warmed up to Dan over the past 3 or 4 years of the way he's just so focused on Davis Cup. And he even said it during one of the press conferences, how it inspired him to be a better tennis player, excuse me. I'm really happy for Dan and what he's done this year.
He really absolutely lives for it.
Mm-hmm. He's really come through for us the last couple of years for Davis Cup, Dan. So all credit to him, because he's had these troubles in the past, obviously, but he's really come through for us.
Yeah.
You can tell he totally thrives on that atmosphere. I mean, I remember last year in Glasgow, he was like, I mean, what a cheerleader. Like, he put in such a shift, cheering everyone on, even when, you know, it was a real struggle for it. It's like, Dan just never let up. And like him and, I think it was him and Neil Skupski were like, they were properly trolling Taylor Fritz while he was playing Cam Nori. Like, they were just, because I was sitting down the front and they were sitting in front of me, and they just kept on, any time Taylor was on like their side of the court, they kept on like they were looking right at him, and then they would put their heads together and they were whispering and then bursting out laughing like wee schoolboys, and then looking at Taylor again. And I was like, they're probably not even saying anything, but they're just bamming him up. And Dan was absolutely loving it.
I know.
Which is what he does, him and Johnny O'Mara.
That's right. And he doesn't care. He just laughs. I don't know if you remember at the weekend then when he got the no-look handshake from the French guy. Yeah. And he doesn't care, which I like that part of him, because I don't either. So yeah, that was the Davis Cup year. Right? That was, what a year that was.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. And I think that was like the start, wasn't it, of so like Davis Cup at the end of 2015, and then that, I think, was the thing that kind of like, that was the starting point for Andy's amazing 2016. You know, like, he came off the back of that amazing win, and then all of a sudden 2016 came rolling in, and he was just like, I don't know, he was just so determined.
Yeah.
And he was going to do it all. You got to see him. You got to see him be crowned world number one, which I just think is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it was such a good night. And that night, me and he, we had good seats for the round robins, but because I wasn't expecting to go to the final, by the time I went to buy a ticket, I think the bottom row was absolutely extortionate. So I ended up buying the top row with some of the girls from the forum. But me managed to eventually blag my way. I think it was Jill Miles and Paula George, and they both had, I think Jill had bottom row. I think she was four rows from the front. Paula was maybe a bit further back. So both of them had says, look, if there's any spare seats, we'll take you. And then you can come back. To be honest, I wasn't expecting it, because I thought this is going to be full of the brim for this match. Mm-hmm. But here, thankfully, Jill messaged me and she went, Angie, there's two or three seats in front of me. Doesn't look as if anyone's coming in. Come down. I thought, you know what? I'm never going to get another chance like this. To be so close. And look, the way that match went, because Andy had such a difficult run and he was absolutely exhausted, I don't think anybody expected the score in that match, to be fair. They absolutely ended up annihilating Jim Djokovic that night. So it's just, to be there, that and the, obviously, Davis Cup win, that was definitely my two top ones for actually being there live.
Yeah.
Two
good matches, isn't it?
But I've had my way in a few times to a couple of matches, which we'll maybe talk about. Just, do you want to ask me any other questions before I keep blabbing on?
I'm sure Peter's got a few lined up.
Well, I do have one that I always ask if you're ready for this question. We talked about it for just a moment. So I always love hearing, what would your walk-on song be if you had one just to pump you up before a match?
Yeah. I haven't had a wee bit of time to think about one song. It's actually my ringtone, and it was out a few years ago, and I absolutely love it. And I think it's just me and Gordon, my husband's got it on his phone if I phone him, and it's Ava Max, Sweet But Psycho.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yes. That is amazing. Speaking of that song, there is this really cute Asian girl who's just like dancing on like this walkway. And I saw this little meme of her like earlier today, and she has a hat in her hand. And so she's just strutting along, and the walkway is like so far up from the forest line. And then like at the end, she puts her hat on and she's just like strutting around, just modeling. And I captioned it. I was like, Team GB coming to stay.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, that would be mine. Michael.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Love that song.
Speaking of Spain, we'd all love to sunny Spain, aren't we, Angie?
Viva España! Yeah. Can't wait. Taking the accommodation, all sorted.
On Monday morning after the phenomenal weekend of tennis, I woke up Monday morning after that. I think I might go to Malaga, you know. I think I might check the flights. And it started off as just a little bit of banter, didn't it, in our group chat. We're like, will we go? And within about 15 minutes, we were like, nah, fuck it. We're booking it. We're going. Here we go. We're going to Malaga. Booked the accommodation. I spent about 3 hours checking out Airbnbs. Found the ideal one. Angie's lining up Julie Garrett to see if she was coming. And now we're all booked. Accommodation booked, flights are booked. Malaga, here we come. Now we just need to wait and see what day we're gonna be playing Serbia.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is really annoying because a lot of people obviously they want to know how many days they're going for. So some people may only want to go for like 2 days and just catch the quarterfinals. And it's really unfair. They're saying it might be weeks before the schedule's released. It's just ridiculous.
I don't understand how they can't release the schedule when they've now done the draw and they know who's playing who.
Exactly.
Surely they can do the schedule. There was something about there's chat that GB could play on. We were talking about this earlier, Angie. There's chat that GB could be on Thursday in order to give Djokovic the most time to recover after the ATP finals. But, I mean, Djokovic goes, the guy's an absolute machine. You know, he goes from tournament to tournament. I don't think he really needs the recovery time.
You know how much I just love Novak as well there. So
you love Novak as much as Peter does.
Oh, that warms my heart. Solidarity.
Yeah, you two are kindred spirits.
Obviously, we're heading out there, I think. Is it the Monday night, Claire, isn't it? So
we fly out on the Monday night. And we're flying home on the Friday morning, but our flights, the flight times are stupid. They're stupid flight times. Yeah. Flying out of Glasgow, we get into Malaga at midnight on Monday into Tuesday, which that's fine. But our flight home on the Friday morning is at 6 a.m. On the Friday morning. So if GB are playing Serbia on the Thursday and it ends up being a late night, me and Angie are just going straight to the airport from the tennis centre.
If it's a late night, it'll be straight to the pub and then from the pub to the airport because there won't be any bikes there. So ideally for us, the Wednesday would have suited us better, but we'll go with whatever.
Yeah,
I love how your priorities are from the tennis match to the pub and then to the airport.
Oh yeah, because the airport's too expensive for drink and they don't do good cocktails. So we're going to a pub and then to the airport.
Oh yeah.
That'll be the plan. So yeah, that's Davis Cup. We're looking forward to it. Fingers crossed for a GB victory. I think it'll be tough against Serbia, but you just never know.
If you get any more questions, Peter, before I butt in again.
How is Queens? Because how many times have you been? Like, at least four now, or what?
Three, I think. I never went last year. I never went in the cold. Did we go last year? What was the first year after COVID? Was it all in 2021 or was it in 2022 after COVID?
Oh, okay.
So I think, obviously, I never went this year. Did I go last year? No, I think I went, I think it was in 21. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't quite the same. So yeah, I was three times for Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Queens is good. It's good for getting up those legs, washing practice, and if you want selfie in that. But it's so very close to Wimbledon. It's like I can't really afford to do both. I don't know how I done it. Them 2 years went to both, but I guess I would just obviously pick my full first week at Wimbledon.
It's so expensive, isn't it?
It is, and it's good to do it, but I don't know if I'll be back. I probably won't go back once Andy retires, to be honest. I'll go back to Wimbledon. I don't think I would go back to Queens. It's good to do it, but once definitely.
I agree with that. I don't think I'll go back to Queens now at all. I did it. I went this year and then I went to Wimbledon like a week later. And like you say, like I don't know how I managed to afford that, to be honest, because I did the Monday and the Tuesday at Queens. So I had three nights accommodation down there. And then, you know, once you factor in your flights and just the expense of being there, it really adds up. I mean, obviously, I had a great Monday, got to meet loads of players, got a really nice picture with Andy. But I've been to Queens twice. And both times I've seen Andy lose. So I feel like that's my limit now. With Queens, I don't think I should be going back anytime soon.
Now, if you're only there for a day or two, and you obviously one of the days you're watching the debate, it is a bit of a downer. Because you know you're just flying home, but at least when we go to Wimbledon, if we're there the whole week, you're disappointed if Andy gets beat, but you do pick yourself up and you'll go other days and you'll have good fun with your friends. So, but I think with Queens, you're like watching Andy get beat and then you're like on a downer and on a plane home. So,
And it's quite a different crowd at Queens as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it? They're quite, you think Wimbledon's posh, but they're like, they're outrageously posh at Queens.
Yeah, it's a bit stuffy, but no, it is an experience. So, do you want to hear about some of the times that I've met Andy?
Of course.
Yes, let's talk about all of that.
Well, the first time was actually in 2013. We bought tickets for the O2, of course, after Wimbledon. It was when he had his back operation.
Yeah.
Shortly after Wimbledon, so he pulled out of the O2. We'd already bought tickets, so again, we were going anyway. Wasn't going to be the same if Andy wasn't there, but he then decided he would do a book signing at Waterstones for his book 77. So I went down straight to Waterstones. Good for, I think it was about 4.5 hours. And it was just such a laugh. You're meeting all the other fans, and but I was just like, as we were getting closer, I was like getting really nervous. I'm not. It was like we had a for time, and I was actually shaking. And I just looked at all these things in my head. And I just went up to the table and spoke the biggest lot of shite I've ever spoke, which is saying something. And he just, if honestly, if I could have recorded the look on his face, he was like, I can't even remember what I says, but it was just a lot of mumbo jumbo. And he was like, okay, right, thank you. Thanks for coming. I told you, Well, I was like, I felt like, oh no, my big chance was ruined, but I was just so nervous. And I was like, even the photos, all photos I took of them, they're all blurry because my hand was shaking that much. That was the first time. As time goes on, after that, it was just getting up so close. So it was just like quick selfies. There's so many people round about them. So it was like just quick selfies. Hi, how are you? I think it's the year store. We just recognise some faces. I think you can sort of tell by the way he says, oh, how are you doing? But he's not got time. You've not got time to have a proper conversation with them. So I always wanted that, you know, and I'm like, I'll probably never get that. When am I ever going to meet Andy and look, just have a one-to-one, just somebody else there? And yeah, that happened very, very unexpected. But last year at the Davis Cup, every time the Davis Cup in Glasgow was in Glasgow, because I'm so close to the venue, I always go down with a good luck card to hand in to the team.
Okay.
You'll look at that. Bogus story. So I went down, is Claire froze again?
No, I think
she
think
has.
So. Oh, she's here?
I'm here.
Yeah. I thought you were. So the 2015, when they were there, Emirates, so I goes down just after work, I'll get a nice card and just address it from everybody, Andy Murray fan forum. So it goes down, and there was a lot more opening days. You could get right up to the front door. And I must have just got a really nice security guard. So I was going to actually just hand it to the security guard. See, that's what Leon Smith, just a good luck card for the team. So the next minute, the guy says, oh, here, come here a minute, come on in. The guy only took me in and knocked in the dressing room door.
My God.
And says, aye, Leon says you've just to go in. So you can imagine. My face, I wasn't expecting this. My face. I thought, shit, who is going to be in here? So, of course, I was home. Andy, Jamie. I can't remember who else. I think it would have been Kyle Edmund then. It would have been Andy, Jamie, Kyle Edmund, and James Ward, I think, was okay. The team. Oh, and then obviously all the other guys, physios and that. So I walked in and I was like, again, pure shit, but I was like, looking around the room, just hopefully all I wanted to do was see Andy and speak to Andy and Leon, of course. So Leon was there. But at this point, Leon knows me really well. Wink, wink, you know.
A little too well. It's like, oh, there's you, Angie.
So I just wanted to give you this card for the team. And my head was doing a 360 degrees trying to see where Andy was, but must have just been bad timing that way. I think they were away getting busy or whatever. But anyway, it was really nice and not expected. So got to give the card to Leon personally. So I'd done the same last year. I thought I'll go back down with a nice card, thinking, do you never want me to go back into the team dressing room again? But no, totally different setup. So it was the first thing I was coming because there was gates up, there was a lot of gates. Never first seen. Oh, he didn't even know who Leon Smith was. And I'm like, well, he's the GB captain. Can you get? So I thought, look, my car's not going to get there. Anyway, walks back to my car, and I got a phone call from my tennis coach at Rutherglen Tennis Club. He went, Angie, where are you? And I'm like, why? And he went, I've just spotted your little yellow card. You're not at the Emirates by chance. And I went, yes. He went, what are you doing? I went, I'm actually just going home because I gave a card for the team, but I can't get any further. Hold on, come with me. So I meet Cedric. He was actually going in. He had been in early in the morning for a meeting with somebody. But Cedric, had, you know, remember the big, massive blow up Davis Cup balls at 2:15 when they were getting them signed. Cedric had every single person on the team signature except for Andy's. So he's hoping to get in as well, but I thought, we're not going to get in. And the next minute, this bus pulls up to a school. So, means that Cedric goes, just follow me. So I'm like, oh no, oh no, please, this is so embarrassing. But of course, Cedric had like tennis court on his jacket. So he went, just mingling in with this crowd of school kids, and they'll think that we're.
I love it.
The security guard opened the gates up and let us all walk in. So me and Cedric got in the arena. All the guys were practicing, no sign of Andy, like Leon, Dan, I think it was Cam Norrie was on at the time. So me and Cedric just sat a little bit further back, sitting. We'll sit and watch the practice. Literally 5 minutes later, who walks out but basically sits not right in front of us, but kind of right down the bottom of the stand, but Andy. Couldn't believe it. And there was literally nobody else in the stand but me, Cedric, Andy, and this group of school kids who were way, way further back. And to be honest, I didn't seem that interested. So I went down. Cedric was acting shy, so I says, I'll go down and get this Davis Cup ball signed, which that was all I was planning to do. Well, amazing. So first time ever, so it was just me and Andy. And by this point, obviously, I've met him a few times, so I was still nervous, but I wasn't quite nervous. And, you know, it was lovely, just had a really, really nice chat, asking about his gran and how the family was. And then, which another thing I've not spoke about, which actually, again, made a total tick of myself. So I started going, oh, Andy, I met your dad last year at Wimbledon. He's so nice. And me and Paul told him so many lovely stories. We tell you, the time, do you remember that time in Australia when we thought it was all over and you were going to retire? Well, your dad, he just loved it because I was so distraught. I drank a bottle of vodka and I had to phone in sick to my work because I was so distraught. I couldn't make my work. Well, again, he launches into that, you know, that face like, oh my God, what the fuck have I got here? Do you know what I mean? He was very polite. Yes. Like, oh, this kicking off. I says, well, your dad loved it anyway. He actually loved the story. That was probably an embarrassing point, but it was good to have that with him and just, you know, one-to-one and nobody like clambering for his attention or, you know, trying to push you out the way. And it was nice. I actually could have sat there all day with him, but I thought, no, I better just leave him in peace.
Nice.
Oh, it just makes me swoon. You saying that, I could have sat there with him all day. Me too.
Oh, that was a really, really good day, that. And again, I shouldn't even have been there, but I got in, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. I love that story. It's what an experience to just be able to sit and have a chat with them, just one-on-one, no one else around.
I know. It was really good. So, and that was when I got most recent selfie, which I think is the best. I love that one. I think I've got 4 or 5 with Andy, but again, very rushed at Queen's or whatever, you know, it's walking. So that one is my favourite, and yeah, definitely. I think I've got about 9 with Leon, actually.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
That does not surprise me at all.
What actually surprises me is that it's fewer than 10. To be honest, we'll get more. We will get more in Malaga. Don't worry. We'll get you up to double digits in Malaga.
Definitely. So the main question, the most important question I want to ask tonight is, when are we going to meet Peter?
That's a very good question. I need to come next year. Mm-hmm. I seriously need to come to Wimbledon. Like, yep. It's either next year or the year after. It's got to be soon. Before he does the R word.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew phones in sick to work again after downing a bottle of vodka.
Oh my God, I'll never forget that day, honestly. I just actually sat there and cried the whole day.
Yeah, and God, me too.
God, he's working and he come back like 9 hours later and he's like, seriously? Are you seriously still sitting there crying? And I'm like, don't even start.
Yeah, that was a sad day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but terrible. He's still here, he's still playing, he's still going, and, you know, he's going to go until at least 2027, because I said till he's 40. So
yes. Yeah.
2027. But yeah, Peter, you know, the sooner you come to Wimbledon, the better. Like next year would be ideal because he'll definitely 1,000,000% be playing there next year. And he's not going to lose in the second round because he's going to be seeded because he's going to just keep getting better and better. And he's going to be up there in the rankings for Wimbledon next year. We're going to have a seeded spot. He's making it to the second round, to the second week. We're definitely having that.
Peter, so the second week, yes.
The second week, yeah. Yeah, he will be the second round.
Have you ever been to Wimbledon, Peter?
No, I haven't. I need to go. It's obviously a bucket list. So,
I take it you've been to the US, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No, it's just Cincy and Indian Wells and a few other tournaments around Texas. Yeah.
I've been to all four slams. That was my bucket list, to do all four slams.
Nice.
So absolutely brilliant. I loved the US Open, loved the Australian Open, but unfortunately the year that we went was the year that Andy pulled out. That was the only downer. But I mean, we had a great time. That was absolutely brilliant to say we've done before. The last one we've done is the Fringe, which was good to say I've done it, but it's my least favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah, the French is the last one that I've got to tick off. I've been in Wimbledon, US and Australia, so I'm the same. I do want to go to the French just to say I've done all four.
Yeah.
I'll maybe do it in a couple of years' time, just let's see if I can get a grounds pass or something for it.
Yeah, we should maybe do another Twitter gals meet up at the French Open, maybe.
A wee trip to Paris. Us Twitter gal, we do love it, don't we? A little meet up and some tennis and some prosecco and gin.
Looking forward to Malaga.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up because time's getting on, but we will have you back, Angie, after Malaga, if you're up for it.
Definitely, and it would be nice to have another guest on along with me, maybe Andy or Leon or Mark.
Right, well, let's leave it with Leon. We'll see what we can do. Yes. How good would it be? Right, Angie, that's our goal when we're in Malaga. Get a chat with Leon and convince him to come on come on an episode with you.
Okay. Good luck with that. You'll probably win.
We'll maybe see a prize in with you.
I think you've got a good chance actually with Leon. I think he probably would agree to it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think Leon would probably be up for it. We'll try and catch him in a good mood in Malaga, Angie, and we'll ask him.
And we'll see as long as I do. So I'll go and get my hair and makeup and whatever done.
Aye. Well, don't worry, we'll have plenty of time to make ourselves look gorgeous. Don't you worry. Even more gorgeous, I should say, Angie, because you don't need all that, because you're already a pure babe.
This is just stage makeup, you know.
Okay, and on that note, Angie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us all your tales about Andy. It's been an absolute joy to listen to you, Peter. I hope you've enjoyed all of it. I hope you've managed to understand Angie's chat, okay, Peter?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been able to decipher the Scottish language a little bit better ever since coming across y'all. So, yeah.
Yeah,
you're getting more in tune. It's lovely finally to see Peter.
Oh, yes.
He is lovely to see, isn't he?
Yes, and I'm very... He's sitting there with a vest on. It must be really warm where he is.
Oh, yes. It's going to go back into the hundreds again. So, yeah, it's getting pretty hot.
It's pure freezing.
I'm sitting here with Amazon freezing.
Right. I'm going to go and make my dinner and put the fire on, seeing as it's so cold here. And Peter's going to go and toast himself away in Texas. So, thank you, everyone, for listening. Angie, thanks for joining us. It's been an absolute joy. He's been Peter, I've been Claire, and the star of the show has been Angie. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you've been listening to the Murray Musings podcast.